It's WSN's The Three Wise Men. I'm Danny Holbrook alongside Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Gentlemen, it's Inauguration Day. It's National Championship Day. It's Martin Luther King Day. It's a great day to be an American.
Hey, a lot going on this week. It's a good time.
It sure is. And what an exciting time of year, especially with basketball. I mean, we're in the full swing of it. And pretty soon, you know, we're going to get those tournament draws, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But give a lot of credit to coaches in the area, because we have had tournament-quality matches and games, especially on Saturdays this year.
Have you guys noticed the number of sellouts that we're going to every week? It's unbelievable. The last two games I've had have both been sellouts, and they're just big, big-time games.
Oh, for sure, and we're going to get to it in a little bit, but I guarantee you there's another one that's going to happen this week, too.
That may be as big a game as we talk about all year, so we'll get to that later.
It could be the game of the year.
We call that a tease, right?
All
right, guys, it's the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week. And I'll just say this, I got the opportunity to work with Diamond Dave Bowen Friday night. What a diamond.
Oh my God.
How about you, Miles? Let's start with you.
I've worked with Diamond Dave before calling a game, and it is a lot of fun. I have a couple things for the best things I saw all week. Randy Roberts and I were watching OG and Senior play on Saturday night, and one of my keys was suffocate, because that Lima Senior defense, boy, they suffocate you in a hurry. I think it was 28-2 at the end of the first, 30-2 at the end of the first. I mean, it was absolutely amazing how quick that Lima Senior defense is, and not just the first five guys, 7, 8, 9 guys. In the second half, you know, Coach Simpson did the right thing. He played a lot of kids. Even 9, 10, 11, 12 guys that got on the floor, unbelievable talent, unbelievable quickness. But Jakel Cotton, you know, he's going to go play at U of D. Absolute fantastic player, kind of a quiet night. But he's not one of those guys that I need my shots. Why aren't you passing me the ball? He didn't pout because he didn't have a ton of points. I mean, talk about a great leader, phenomenal player. He can shot block. He can step out. He can do it all. He's an amazing player. But the guy that really stepped out in that game, Sean Foster.
He's really good.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
His ability to leave the floor, and you're like, well, this guy's just, all he's going to do is he's going to slash and he's going to dunk. And then he just steps out and says, oh, you want me to hit a three? No big deal. I'll do it as well. And then you forget, he's just a sophomore.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy
about
it.
His skill level's off the charts.
For a sophomore. It's insane. It's unbelievable. And we talk about all these other great guards in Northwest Ohio and Lima Land.
He's right up there with all of them.
If he's not one or two, then we're really ranking things wrong. But my second one, a little bit different. Jordan Blackburn at St. Mary's, right? They're struggling. You know, 4-10 overall. They lost a one-shot buzzer beater to OG. They had a shot. They got it stopped. But that was a game that OG would get up by 9 points, and they're like, okay, OG's going to run away. This guy coached and coached and coached, used all his timeouts up early because he needed to, played like 5 different defenses. His ability to keep that team in that basketball game all night long was fantastic. St. Mary's, you might not win a ton of games this year, but just hold on. That guy's a fantastic coach.
Yeah, I saw him against Marion Local. It was kind of the same thing, where right now St. Mary's is just working through a lot. They graduated a ton, new coach. Right. They just got a lot of stuff they're trying to get through. But you can – I mean, the coaching doesn't ever stop. Even when the game gets out of hand, he's still coaching like they're still in it. He wants them to see what that's like, knowing when to come out and, you know, come out of those timeouts with the right play call and still doing the little things. And he's trying to build that foundation right now for sure.
Yeah, fantastic job.
Yeah, I had a chance to work with one of the new guys at WSN. Sent Austin Scott, and he had talked to Coach Blackburn before our ball game, and the things that Coach Blackburn was saying, unbelievable. Not just coach speak. I mean, he really got into the heart of what he believes is important in a program, and it was really refreshing to hear what this guy said. He has non-negotiables that I just love, and he doesn't waver from this stuff. He knows they're going to lose, and he doesn't have an issue with them losing as long as they follow this process. The guy's been a winner everywhere he's went.
It was nice, too, to get that, because a coach that opened up – coach is like, I don't want to even show you who scores for me.
You know? Well, that's what you get. You know, he's from outside the area. He was an inside hire for St. Mary's. He comes from Columbus. He's coached at the college level, and you see that polish kind of coming out when he does those things.
How about you, Nate? The best thing you saw all week?
For me, I had a couple things as well. First, I was over in Kenton on Saturday night. Okay, it was Shawnee running away with that one, you know, bouncing back from a really tough game they had the night before in Defiance that went to overtime that they pulled out. But at halftime, they have this thing that they do over in Kenton. It's a raffle or something. Yeah. I text you guys about it after it happened. But, you know, ticket gets pulled, you take a three-point shot and a half-point or a half-court shot, you get to win some money, right?
Yeah.
Well, whoever won it either didn't want to or couldn't, or there was something. They needed a proxy. So they go to the athletic director over in Kenton, right?
Brett Purcell.
Brett Purcell.
Yeah.
They go to him. They ask him to take the shots for him. He's like, oh, okay, I'll go and do it for you, right? He goes out. Takes him three or four chances. He finally hits that three-pointer, wins him $100.
Nice.
He has about 6 seconds left, so he takes his time. He goes back to the half court. He, at the buzzer, fires up the half-court shot, drains it for $500. The AD steps in as the proxy,
That's awesome.
The big shot, wins one of the fans $600. The gym went insane.
I bet. Did our camera crew catch it on video?
You know, we'll have to check with Jacob. I don't know if he was running during halftime or not, but it was the gym goes nuts. It was a great scene. And it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes – things get lost in bad seasons.
Oh,
Ken's
sure.
having a bad season. You know, they're trying. They got some things that they got to work through over there. It hasn't been a lot of success, but the fans are still there. You guys talked about student sections last week on the show, right?
Yeah.
Kenton was one of the ones that you guys brought up.
Yeah.
They were all still there. The gym is still filled with people. You know, the AD step it in. Everybody's still having fun. Everybody's still staying positive. And then, you know, you get to win $600 by having your AD shoot some shots for you.
So
can't beat it.
$600, if I was Brett Purcell, I'd have been like, they don't pay me that much. Run out that gym with it.
And then my second one, I got to give a shout out. You know, I coach quite a few things. And one of the things that I coach is swimming. I coach swimming over at Lima Senior. We had a big meet on Saturday, the Allen County Cup. It was a great meet. We had a good time. We set a lot of good times in that meet. But one of our swimmers, our sophomore, Angela Franzelia, she swims a lot of things. Very, very talented young lady. She's going to do great things in swimming.
Nice.
Set the school record Saturday in the 200 IM. A very difficult event to swim. You got to be able to swim all four strokes. She swims them all very proficiently.
Wow.
And just as a sophomore, she tied it on the first meet of the year. And then she finally was able to break it on Saturday, just the second time swimming it this season. So
that's
congratulations
fantastic.
To her. We were happy to see her do that.
Congratulations, awesome.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's awesome. Guys, for me, I had we don't very rarely get schools back-to-back each different week, you know. But last week I had Delphi St. John's, Lima Central Catholic. This week I had Delphi St. John's, Marion Local.
Yeah,
tough
ones to call.
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah. And you know that when you get Delphi St. John's back-to-back, it's easy to, you know, keep your notes, and it's all good. Well, guys, this week was incredible. The Marion Local game, and it was a 12-point Delphi St. John's win. But I tell you guys this, it was so much closer than that. It was back and forth the entire night. With about 6 minutes to go, Cam Elwer picks up his fourth foul. The Marion Local crowd went nuts.
Oh,
they went
sure.
nuts.
Yeah,
you know, the best player.
Yeah.
It's tied up. And we're in the booth, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. What does Delphi St. John's do? They give the ball to a young man named Jackson Wiekert. Now, Jackson Wiekert is a good player.
Right.
Jackson Wiekert proceeds to drill three threes in a row. That place went nuts. He's looking around. He's the hero for the day. I felt so good for that kid. But I felt bad for the Marion Local people because they were stunned. But you want to talk about picking up where somebody falls short. This Delphi St. John's basketball team, and I know people are going to get tired of Delphi, or they're going to have Delphi St. John's fatigue. But they are so fun to watch.
Yeah, sure.
They are so good. They shoot lights out no matter where they're at. That gym is electric. It is, I say it again, it's one of my favorite places to broadcast from. But they're having one of those years that they're going to talk about forever. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, we joke about me saying Rushi's the best team in the state. Man, the
it
more
wasn't
I was,
a joke.
No,
you said
no,
it.
You pounded the table.
Yeah, no. Wait.
It's time to go to break.
revisionist history strikes again on this show.
But
you didn't. It wasn't a joke.
Like,
you
said
they are going to win state.
So here's what I said to my wife. I'm like, what happens if these two play in the state championship game and Rushi does win, and then a whole bunch of my friends from Delphi are mad at me, and I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Both of them.
So that was the best thing I saw. The games at Delphi St. John's, the community, the pep bands, the administration. They treat us really good over there, guys. Mm-hmm. And it's an old school feel in that gym. I love Robert Arnes and Gymnasium.
How many people do you think are going to reach out to Coach Elwer and get their shooting system? Like, how do you teach shooting? What kind of drills you use? Because you're right. And no matter who it is in the blue and white that goes on the floor, they're burying a three.
And I said this last week. Cam Elwer is so good at getting to the rim. When he goes into the paint, entire defense has collapsed. And I said against Marion Local, the Delvis St. John's kids, there was nobody closing out because they couldn't get out there quick enough because their ball movement is so good.
Yeah, they do,
and they just stand out there. And if it goes in the air, I had a lot of threefemisms, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I was rolling the threefemisms out there. So
yeah. Threes company.
That's the best thing I saw. It's interview time, guys. We're really excited. We got a couple great guests today. Taitlin Ferrilla and Reagan Hutchison from Waynesville Goshen High School. Guys, both of these young ladies are 1,000-point scorers.
Amazing.
How cool was that?
That's awesome. I got to ask first and foremost, how exciting was that? Because you guys did it only, one game apart from each other?
It was pretty cool, and our community definitely was there to support us and our team and our coaches. It was a special moment for both of us, for sure.
Which one of you guys got it first?
Me.
She did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you, talk a little smack afterwards?
No.
Where are you at?
No.
I'm a minute older.
No.
I imagine you guys were both super excited for each other.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Let's talk a little bit about the season, all right, guys? You guys are 10-6. You're 3-1 in the Northwest Central Conference. You've won 6 out of your last 8 games, so you want to be playing really good basketball as we head into February. Tournament draw is in 2 weeks. Give me your observations of this year's club.
I definitely think we put in the work this summer. We got a new coaching staff, so that's definitely hard to adjust with. Definitely hard to adjust to. But I think we've adjusted pretty well and kind of bonded and started to gel with each other. And as the season went on, we've definitely got better.
Yeah, and Reagan, let me ask you this. You're a senior. You're a 1,000-point scorer. You know, you're a leader on the team. Do you lead vocally? Do you get after him, or do you just let your play, do your talking?
I would say that Taitlin definitely is the more vocal one.
I can't imagine that.
I tend to lead by my actions. I definitely will say in the game, when we come back on defense, I definitely try to, get him a little hyped up. But, Taylor's definitely more vocal than I am. I normally, by my actions.
So. Will you ever go to Taylor and say, hey, you probably need to say something like this?
No, she kind of
just says it.
No, she just says it.
She just get after
she
it.
She just says what's on her mind. I can't control it.
That's great.
So, obviously, 1,000-point is a big threshold to be – it's a huge accomplishment. Not a lot of players get to accomplish that. At what point in each one of your guys' careers were you like, we think that this is a possibility and something that maybe, you were maybe not necessarily working towards but really had your eye on and thought you could get to this point?
I would say probably my freshman year. I started varsity halfway through the season, and I was averaging about 10 points. And after that season during the summer, I talked to my coaching staff, and I was like, I think this is a goal that I want to achieve. And so I put in work over the summer, and last year going in, I was just under 200 points away, and I knew it was achievable. So it was definitely a goal from when I started.
Nice.
It's always been a goal, I wanted to achieve. I always thought it'd be super cool, but I didn't – when I play, I don't really focus on, scoring or, I just kind of go play how I can, and I put in the extra work over the summer, individual trainings and stuff like that. So, but then, this year I was, around 300 that I needed, but then, from there, I didn't really think about it until, the game of where I really, knew how many points I needed, but – always thought it would be
it's
cool
not like
thing
you guys
achieve.
Had a tally sheet.
No, our coaches actually didn't want us to know.
They didn't tell us till the first
game.
Oh,
no kidding.
Or the game that –
talking about your coaching staff, you guys are both seniors, brand-new coaching staff come into your senior year. How difficult is that, and how tough is it to kind of build that trust? Because, a whole new coaching staff, your senior year, you want everything to go as smooth as possible. What was that journey like?
I think it was hard to adjust at first. Mm-hmm. New plays, new people, new – it was definitely hard to adjust, but I think Coach Farley and his staff bought into us, and he wanted what was best for us. So I think the more we were around him, the more we realized that.
Yeah.
So if we bought into what he was telling us, it would work.
Yeah.
What do you guys like about playing for Coach Farley?
He's very, he definitely listens to what we have to say. He adjusts to us, and from the beginning, he was just, always doing everything for us. He told us from the beginning that when he looked at this job, he saw us play, and he was like, I wanted to come here because I saw you girls play, and I knew I could help you guys.
I want to ask you guys about playing in a small town, and you know how it is on you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays for girls basketball and Friday night for boys basketball. Talk to the people watching this about how that feels when you go out there and all your friends and family are there and the pep band's playing, because I have those fond memories and these guys do too. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
I mean, playing for a small community, it's like you think it's like hard to get fans, but really like, we have a lot of people show up for our games.
Oh, high school basketball is big time.
And away games too. Like we travel very well, and like our fans are always have our back. Like
they're loud.
They're loud. They cheer us on.
They like to get after the refs too.
Did your parents get after the refs?
Oh, yeah. I've watched her dad many times.
My dad stands up a couple times. You know, he's got his hands in the air yelling at the refs. Yeah. It's a great time.
A couple years ago, I was over at one of you guys' games, and you guys had the little dribblers out there and all those little girls. And when you guys came out on the floor, the way they looked at you, can you talk a little bit about that? What that means to be role models to these little kids?
It is really cool. And, like, even when they'll see me in the hallways or something, like, they just – I'll be honest, I don't even know some of them. They'll wave. It's really cool to know that little girls like that and boys look up to us.
Yeah. Reagan, do you guys feel like you're setting a trail for other kids?
Yeah, I feel like me and Taitlin, like, we call ourselves, like, the Twin Towers, like, that neighborhood. Yeah, it's very cool to be able to be role models for them.
You know, so coming into this year as seniors, obviously, you always want to go out on a high note. You want to have a successful season. But when you have a coaching change, there's a lot of unknowns, right? You don't know quite how things are going to go. There's a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty. Coming in, that had to be a hard thing for you guys to kind of work through. You guys talked about all the time you put into the gym, though, and the team finally coming together. And whatever you guys have done as leaders and your coaching staff obviously is working. You guys are sitting atop the conference right now. You got a stretch coming up, though, that really is going to decide this conference. You got three straight conference games coming up. Where do you guys think you guys are right now as a team with all the changes and the seniors and everything heading into this, what it will be, end up being probably, you know, the most important stretch of games for you guys?
You go ahead.
I think we've definitely had a lot of ups and downs. Like the beginning of the season, like we were just kind of getting adjusted. It was like the first time we had put these new plays like really in set, and like the first half of the year was a struggle, but we came back from break and we really like started off with a bang. And we had a tough loss last week against North Baltimore. They were coming in 1-3. They really had nothing to lose. And so we are still 3-1. So we definitely have a lot of work to go. But I say that we've definitely improved over a short amount of time. Like we really started to gel together, and the coaches really, like we really just clicked like right after break, and it really is, all the puzzle pieces are coming together. So I think that by the end of the season, we really have a good shot in tournaments coming up.
I think, we had a tough loss in North Baltimore on Thursday. Like, they were 1-3 in the conference before coming into the game. We were undefeated. Mm-hmm. Like, they had nothing to lose. So it was just one of those games. That, I mean, they were just playing, you know, like we were. But we worked the concession stand on Friday. And I think little things like that, doing as a team, like, you have that's to move on. Point.
Yeah.
You have to move on. Right. And
we were all, like, laughing together and stuff. So
yeah. We were – now we're ready to get back to work today. And
so you guys like where you guys are right now as a team heading into the stretch? I mean, obviously you guys got Corey Ross and Ridgedale and then a tough game against Elgin to finish that up. That might be what decides who's the conference champion.
Yeah.
You guys like where you guys are right now?
I do. I think losing and, like, going through the ups and downs together, I think we've stuck together and, like, we're for each other every time we play on the court. So I think – and we get after it in practice. I like where we're at.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed is that, like, we don't really care who scores. Like, I've noticed, like, when we're in the game, we're all just, like, cheering on each other. And we all just – like, we share the ball very well. None of us are, like, trying to score all the points for ourselves. Like, we all just don't care who gets it. We just want to win.
What's the best part of this basketball team? What's the thing that people don't really recognize about you guys?
We get along, and we're, like, we have fun together. We don't really argue. We don't we have fun together. We'll do things together. Like, we laugh a lot, and we have fun.
Can you guys tell us how you do that? Because we struggle with Danny a lot. he's got that score first mentality.
Talk about
the whole having fun thing is really difficult.
So have you guys gave any thought to the fact that your names are going to be on that wall in the gym forever? I mean, there's a lot of 1,000-point scores up there, and you guys are going to join that club. Have you thought about that?
It's pretty cool, right? Like lately, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, it's that time of the show where I ask the question that everybody waits for, all right? And I think I may know the answer on this for you guys. All right, so here it is. Everybody we have on here, I ask them the same question. What's the one school that you really, really enjoy beating?
USB.
I knew they were going to say that. My alma mater. I knew they were going to say that. But that's great. That's a great rivalry. That really is. It is.
I mean, they're steely-eyed and just matter-of-factly intense. USB.
You guys both said that loss bothered you, which is kind of cool that both of you are thinking the same way. And then you said, we came back, we worked together as a team. What did you guys talk about after that loss with your teammates? You guys are the leaders on that team.
I think that the officiating definitely wasn't the best, but I think it was helpful that Coach Farley came in the locker room and he was like, listen, I know that the refs were not in our favor, but we also did a lot of things that led to that loss too. And I think that really opened my eyes because I was just so like frustrated that whole game because there was calls that did not go our way. And he was like, it made me realize there's a lot of things that we didn't do also. Like we didn't like get the boards very well. And so we definitely took a lot of learning away from that game too. So
did you have any words for the underclassmen? Did you say anything like, hey guys, we're still in this, there was one league loss?
There were several of us like just bummed out and kind of still in shock that we lost that game because like no one was going into that game thinking like
that we were gonna lose.
A little big head
so
maybe?
It honestly we yeah, probably were
it might have been a
what,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we kind of just talked like there were some tears, honestly. Like it was definitely a tough loss.
I don't think half the team realized that they were 1-3 going in.
Yeah,
really.
So. Yeah, so we were like we still have a chance. Like it's not over. But
when you guys are finished with the season and hopefully you have a long tournament run and you put some banners up on the wall, what's the one thing you're gonna remember about playing basketball, Waynesville Goshen?
The fun that I had on the court. Like it was. Playing basketball is like one of my favorite things, and the girls that I play with, they always make it like awesome. So
yeah, I think definitely my teammates, and like we have fun together and like on and off the court, and I probably the fans too, like they show up and it they like they make it so fun. They always bring the energy. Like our community is really good to us.
All right, so a little bit of a serious question here for you guys. Why is Mr. Holbrook your favorite over there at
Waynesville
Goshen?
Answer that.
Why is Mr. Holbrook the best?
Because I'm nice to them and they're smart. That's why.
is it the movies that he lets you guys watch? Is it just the unlimited free time in the classroom?
No.
Like what? No, the no homework.
Guys, it's been a pleasure having you. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming in, both of you. 1,000-point scorers. You got a winning basketball team. You guys are smart. You're intelligent. You guys are doing it the right way. We're really proud of you. So thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies. And we wish you nothing but success.
Thank you.
All right, guys, it's time to preview some great, great games on WSN. Let's start with Ladies Night Out Thursday night, Ottawa Glandorf at Bath. Mark Schein, Kelsey Beimer, OG comes in with a sparkling 14-0 record against a 5-10 Bath squad. Now, in years past, fellas, this matchup would have been really, really hyped up. Bath is struggling right now. Yeah. I'm sure they'll get it back together. They always do. But right now, OG's the king. And if you come at the king, you better not miss.
Well, the queen, right?
Yeah. The queen.
The ladies, Danny. You look at common opponents lately, right? OG beat up on Fort Laramie by 10. Fort Laramie beat Bath last week 49-26. OG beat a really good Ottoville squad last week, 57-54. I just think there's a lot of firepower for OG that Bath is going to have to struggle with. If Bath is going to have a chance, you know, they'll run that 2-3 zone. OG has a bad night shooting against that 2-3 zone, and you do a really good job rebounding. The problem with that, though, is we all know OG can put out three ladies that are over 5'11", so how are you going to out-rebound? It's a tough ask for Bath, Nate.
Yeah, you know, this Ottawa Glandorf team has won every game this season by double digits,
yeah.
And they have not played a cupcake schedule by any stretch. This is just –
as many talented OG teams as we have seen, this may be the most talented, and it's the least talked about, which is a weird thing because coming into the season, we're just so used to OG being, girls basketball being good that I don't know that it gets as much attention as maybe it should. And so you didn't hear a bunch about it, right? But, you know, you had Carson Erford coming in as a senior.
Yeah.
They got a lot of other players as well. Yeah. But they've kind of flown under the radar a little bit until maybe this Fort Loramie victory. And then it's that the eyes got open for a lot of people like, hey, this isn't just another good OG team. This is an excellent, you know, above average, above what we've seen type OG team. So Bath is going to have their hands full. They've had a rough season. They are 4-2 in conference play. So they do have some things going well for them that when that comes down, right? Only one time in their last 10 games have they given up 50 or more points. And they've played some really tough teams. In those 10 games, they've played Coldwater, they've played Kenton, they played Fort Loramie. Their defense keeps them in games.
It travels well, doesn't it?
Now, the problem is they've only won three of those last 10 games because their offense just is really, really struggling this year. So can they win this game? Yes. They're going to have to play the defense that we know that they can play. They're going to have to keep this a low-scoring affair.
Sure.
But they're going to have to find a way to get the offense going. If it's one of those days where Bath's offense is able to tap into some of those reserves, then they can at least keep themselves in this game because their defense will always give them a chance.
Yeah, Gwen Fowles will have to have a really nice day.
Yeah.
Guys, Friday night, Spencerville goes to Columbus Grove in boys action. Randy Roberts and our own Miles Holiday on the call. Guys, Spencerville defeated a really good Arlington team last week.
Oh, this boy, did they.
Right. Now, listen to this, guys. This week, they've got to play Columbus Grove, a league game, which, look, Columbus Grove,
Grove.
A 5-5 team, but still, you know, still early. It's still a good road test. They got to come back Saturday night with what some would say is the game of the year in Northwest Ohio, Spencerville, Delta, St. John's. We'll get to that later, so don't jump the gun. Let's go Spencerville, Columbus Grove.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about a Spencerville team 14-0 for the first time in school history.
Yeah.
This is their best winning streak since they won 13-0 back when Coach Sensiball was playing. Okay, so, I mean, the Spencerville team is in an era that they've never been in before. And when you look at the rest of their schedule, there's some tough games on there, but it lines up that you could be looking at a historic season for the Bearcats. They've been playing really, really good, and it's really hard to pick against them. They are going up against a Columbus Grove team that is playing better, right? Yeah. They started the season 1-4. They got off to a little bit of a rough start. You can call it the football hangover, whatever.
Well, surely
you
it was, right?
And then, but since then, they've won 4 of their last 6, including 3 of the last 4. They're playing much better basketball. They've had some close losses. They had a 1-point loss to Kaleida just this last weekend, which that Kaleida team I think is surprising a lot of people too with some of the games that they're winning. So I do think that this will be a much tougher matchup than Spencerville's or maybe some people are expecting. I'm sure Spencerville will be ready for them. Coach Sensiball is not going to let his team have letdowns. They're not going to overlook anybody. But this is a Columbus Grove team that if people are like, oh, this will just be another easy victory for Columbus Grove, they need to be careful thinking that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nate, on that point because, you know, like in boxing, styles make fights, right? And I think this Columbus Grove team matches up really well with Spencerville because they're very athletic. It's like the same kid that's 5'10 to 6'1, right? That's the whole team. They got the Killer Bees of the Brazzer brothers and Best is back. They're going to be able to match up on their perimeter with those guys. To me, though, the key is Carter Orr inside. This is nobody for Columbus Grove can really match up with Carter Orr inside. Now, that doesn't mean because you have that advantage that you take it. Sometimes you forget about those things, right? The game flow will happen. It will dictate if this is an up and down 70 to 80 point game and you forget about letting your big guy get to the low block, I think that goes the way for Columbus Grove.
Yeah. Game three. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
No, I was just going to say, you know, for Columbus Grove too, though, this stretch of games that they have right now, we're going to find out a lot about the Bulldogs. They got Liberty Benton on Tuesday night.
Yeah, good point.
They have Spencerville on Friday, and then they got Ottoville on Saturday.
This
is a rough week for the Bulldogs.
Yeah. Game three, gentlemen, Friday night. Wapakoneta goes to Shawnee. Myself and Mark Schein will be on the call. Guys, Wapakoneta coming off a big win over a good Jackson Center team, 44-41. Shawnee still undefeated in the WBL. Now, look, with Wapakoneta, here's a couple things. They've got a healthy Ryan Richardson who's over his illness.
Okay.
He had some illness. They've got Caleb Moyer who had 18 the other night in a loss against St. Mary's, but he's still playing really good basketball. Trey Elkert he wants to keep that score low. Obviously, that 44-41 is by design that they beat Jackson Center. So Shawnee, he knows what they're capable of. They're averaging close to 70 points a game. This is two different styles in a game, right?
You referenced that 18 that Moyer had. He followed up with 17 against Jackson Center in that big win, 44-41, which that's one of those – this is a Wapakoneta team that every once in a while you're like, hey, they beat OG. They hadn't done that in 31 times. That's a little bit of a head-scratcher. And then they beat Jackson Center, and we were talking off air. You're like, that's a great win, and it sure is. But if they don't get great contributions from Ryan Richardson, I know he's back, but how healthy is he, right? Moyer's not going to be able to carry that offense all by himself against a Shawnee team that you know really well, Nate. They can score with anybody, right?
Well, and, you know, that, I think that's going to be the issue because, you know, Walpock is going to need this to be a game that's in the 40s.
Yes.
And I don't know how they are going to be able to hold that Shawnee team to just scoring somewhere in the 40s. They're too long, they're too fast, or too athletic. I don't know how Walpock slows them down. They'll want to try to take the air out of the ball, but they play such suffocating man-to-man defense. They can come out of it if they need to. The Shawnee team is really good. We've seen some hiccups, but I think I loved how they bounced back this last weekend. You know, Friday night they go up and they play an undefeated Defiance team, undefeated in conference play, a really good Defiance Bulldog team who has caught a ton of people off guard. But if you listen to people talk, right, it's been, well, but that schedule hasn't been the greatest. Right. You know, maybe this isn't an inflated record. Are they really this good? I would venture to guess, even people inside Defiance – thought that that game Friday night against Shawnee was going to go very differently than what it did. Defiance led that game, was in control, probably should have won that game.
That's what everybody says. Turnovers at the end got them.
And then Shawnee forces the overtime. They take over. You know, they end up coming away with that conference victory to stay undefeated in the WBL. But there was no hangover at all against a down Kenton team. I mean, I'll give that to you. But they came out right from the gun. You talked about Lima Senior being up 24-2, you know, in our announcer group chat, we're giving updates on scores. I see that it was 18-2 at the Shawnee Kenton game, and then they just kept it going. And then the bench and JVs played the second half for Shawnee and for that game. But I just don't see how Walpock has the players right now to be able to slow down Shawnee enough to be able, because that it's the same thing we were just talking about when we were talking about the offense for the Bath girls, right? There's just – I don't see where the offense is going to come from to be able to win that game.
Yeah, Adams and Rogers would have to go out of their minds. The sophomores would have to grow up in a hurry for Wapakoneta to win that one. This win by Shawnee against Defiance, that's one of those wins that at the end of the year you're like, wow, that was the moment that we said, you know what, there's nobody that can beat us when we put our minds to it. That was unbelievable. Nate said it right. There was no way they should have won that basketball game. Mm-hmm. That was a Defiance win at the end. And even to the point where Nate announced on air that Defiance was going to win that one.
You know what? That was what finished up at the Elida Bath game. We're watching the WSN app. I'm looking at the update scores. 5:30, I think, was left to go in the fourth quarter. Defiance is up 10. You know, because that game, actually, that Elida Bath game had some bearing in the standings.
Oh, it sure does. Yeah.
You know, the Elida still just with the one loss. So we were talking about that. And, you know, we said, you know, obviously when you see this, you're going to know what the score is, but it looks like Defiance is going to knock off Shawnee, stay undefeated. And then by the time I got into the parking lot and left, my son, who was at the game, texted me, goes, we're going to overtime. I'm like, oh, that was a bad take.
Send your hate mail from Defiance to Nate Garlock.
Yeah, there's two teams I've watched all year that give you the most problem just on their perimeter defense, and one is Shawnee because of their length. It's unbelievable the way they can out there and stretch you out. Marion Local was the other. And you look at both those squads, what they did to Delphi St. John's, they forced Delphi St. John's to knock those shots down, and they moved the ball a lot. But Marion Local and Shawnee, you want to talk about just getting after them on the perimeter, they're really – and God forbid if Shawnee goes 1-3-1 and they put one of those those 6'6 kids up top or even Damala Ojo up top. He's so athletic. Or Tate Bender on the wing. We could go on about those teams.
You know, and with Shawnee, though, I think the biggest thing, too, is just continuing to take it a game at a time. You know, they have two big matchups still left on this regular season slate, really three. They got the big matchup against Lima Senior, where I think that's where everybody's going to see, okay, what is Shawnee, what is Lima Senior in that matchup? They also have a game against a very, very good Botkins team coming up. And then they finish the year with Wayne Trace, who – it always gives everybody issue.
Nobody
right?
ever wants to play Wayne Chase, right?
No matter what, so especially good. Your last game yeah. of the season going to tournament play. But Shawnee, you know, they are going to finish their last four conference games are four of the five last place teams in the Western Buckeye League. So if you're Shawnee, you know that, hey, we're undefeated. Our toughest test, Defiance game, is behind us now. But you don't want to start overlooking anybody yeah, either because coast. You can get caught any night in the Western Buckeye yeah. League.
Game four Friday night, New Bremen at Marion Local. Our good buddy Jeff Overholzer and Ben Sloan on the call for that. Marion Local coming off that, I don't want to say devastating loss to St. John's.
Tough loss.
It was yeah. a tough loss. They were tied up with 4 minutes to go in that game. New Bremen putting together a nice season at 8-6. Any chance New Bremen can pull the upset off? Guys, I saw Marion Local. I say no, but I'm just asking you guys.
I think Austin Niekamp can probably outscore New Bremen by himself, right? You look at New Bremen 8-6, but I mean they lost to Parkway last weekend. That's not a good sign yeah. when you're going against Marion Local. And again, they just struggle to score points. Austin Niekamp, if you told me he had 40 in this one, I'd say okay, I believe you.
Yeah, I mean, where I look at it is I think the only real chance is at some point, my concern with this Marion Local team is that all of these games that they have played catch up with them.
Yeah, it might wear
they
out.
Haven't had a ton of rest because they're trying to play catch up because they got such a late start. That rest comes a little bit later in the season for them. So you just get a little bit worried about maybe one of these games where they should win, does it catch up with them, and they get caught on an off night.
Saturday night is a girls matchup, Ottaville at Jefferson. Our own Nate Garlock and Kelsey Beimer on the call. Guys, Ottaville comes in at 14-2, obviously one of the best programs in Northwest Ohio. They just come off a loss to Ottawa Glendorf. No shame in that. 67-54. And then you look at Delvis Jefferson. Guys, they're 6-8, but who wouldn't be with the losses they had from graduation?
Oh, I know.
They lost all state guards, they lost bigs, they lost everything. And hey, they're trying to get it together, and it's still a good program.
Yeah, it's a tough week, too. Wayne Trace on Tuesday, the Winans sisters. And Lexi Moore there for Wayne Trace are fantastic. They have Crestview on Thursday, and then, of course, Ottaville on Saturday. Ottaville, 14-2, fantastic team. They rebound the basketball really well. Here's what I think Jefferson could do. We've all watched pro wrestling, right? You remember that masked pro wrestler that you don't know who it is because they're wearing a mask? Liv Lindemann comes back, wears a mask. We don't know. It's the masked superstar guard. She gets in, helps them in this one. I think that's their only chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jefferson, just obviously not the same team. Nope. With the losses that they've had, losing Liv Lindemann absolutely is a devastating loss for any program. They also have to go through a new head coach as well. So a lot of change over there in Delphus. Doing a nice job trying to stay close, right? 6-8, right around that 500 mark. But they're going up against the Ottaville team that is just really, really good this year. And I expect them to win this game, but I won't count out Delphus Jefferson. They still have really good athletes. Those girls know what winning is like, and it cannot be overlooked. When you lose superstar players, Ottawa Glendorf is going through it on the boys' side, right? When you lose a player that has just transcended your program, like Colin White did, like Liv Lindemann
once
did.
Once in a lifetime guy.
Exactly. It takes a little bit of time, but there are still plenty of people in that program that were there. They know what the winning felt like. They know what it looked like. They knew what the effort took. And so you never want to say that, hey, they're done or they can't win these games, because they've won a lot of these big games as a team.
Game seven, guys, Saturday night, the Bluffton Pirates, the Pandora Gilboa Rockets. Randy Roberts, Miles Holiday on the call. Guys, Bluffton coming off a tough weekend last week,
yep.
Losing a conference game to LCC, and then losing to, I think, one of the top 5-6 teams in Northwest Ohio, and Liberty Benton. They're really good. They go to overtime at home. They lose that. Pandora Gilboa, steady as she goes. There's another team that lost a lot last year to graduation. They're 8-5, but only, still in the league hunt.
Yeah, I mean, everything you just said, pretty much, right? Back-to-back losses. It was a really rough weekend. Those were close games. I don't know. I don't think that people thought Bluffton would maybe have as much trouble with LCC. We had talked
about
LCC.
That was a shocker to me.
26 by Pretty?
Yep. Yeah. LCC was a little down coming into that game. I don't think a lot of people thought that they would be in a position to push Bluffton like they did. They come away with that victory. Then they have to go right the next night and play Liberty Benton, force them into overtime before dropping that one. An absolute brutal week. But that's now three losses in their last four games, because the weekend prior they lose to Crestview. So
right.
A little bit of a downhill spiral right now for Bluffton, where they've got to kind of pull this thing up. Very, very talented players. We know how good that Pirate team is, but no team likes to go through a stretch where you're losing more than you're winning.
And you look at their four losses, the biggest margin was five.
Arlington got them, right?
Yeah. And so it's not like they're getting blown out. These are just tough losses, but it does have to concern you because you want to win close games. Yep. And if you lose close games, the next time you have a close game, what's the odds of you finally winning that one, right? You don't know how to win those. So that LCC loss, I mean, anytime you lose the LCC, it's one of those maybe with an asterisk because the talent on LCC is unbelievable,
it's
right?
It's really good, yeah.
You're right. And you look at their record and like, oh, well, you know, they've lost so many games, you're probably going to be – no, that talent level, LCC, you don't know which LCC team is going to show up. So playing them is always dangerous. And Liberty Benton is good as anybody. They are absolutely fantastic. I do like Blake Summers, who is just consistent for them, 18 points and 15 points last weekend under two losses. And there's going to be nobody – and absolutely nobody for PG that can match up with him. So look for them to really stay in that 2-3 zone that they love to be in and pack that 2-3 zone in. It's going to have to be a good shooting night for Bluffton to beat a really scrappy Lane Lee and Pandora Gilboa.
Well, and you wonder, though, if for some reason they drop this game and they can't beat Pandora, if panic might start setting in because after that, Spencerville. After that, Columbus Grove. This is a three-game stretch where, you know, even if they beat Pandora, they're still looking at two games after that that are very, very difficult and conference games. Bluffton going through it a little bit right now here at this point of the season.
All right, so you remember my Liv Lindeman idea with the pro wrestling mask?
Yeah.
Evan Skiller.
There we go. I love it.
Put the mask on him.
I love it. I love it.
Get him in the game for Bluffton.
Give him the ball.
Who doesn't want to see the professor shoot?
Me. Let's go. Game 8 Saturday night. It's a good old Putnam County League showdown. Otterville, Columbus Grove. Garrett Mansfield, Darren Gilbert on the call for that one. Guys, we've talked about Otterville and Grove. I got a question for you. It just seems like, and I know it's real because Columbus Grove gets that late start. They're playing a lot of big games here, back to back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Any chance these kids get worn out? Or, you know, because of the way the schedule is, they slow down a little bit on the practices in February. We've all coached.
Nate, I don't know about you, but when I coached, I tried to schedule as many wins as possible. Yeah, I didn't want to schedule tough games. I had enough tough ones in my league, man. And in 20 years, nobody wants to know who you beat. They just want to know that final record, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way I looked at it. You know, save your kids' legs a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at it, you have years like this, though. You know, a lot of these schedules are built 2-3 years out. There's a lot of history. These guys play each other every year.
Sure.
It's easy it's
rivalry,
game.
Yeah,
and they always play about the same time. If you start looking at the schedules, always play right around the same time of the year anyway. So, I mean, I think everybody's used to it. And, you know, this just happens to be the year, though, that we have a lot of really good teams playing right at the exact same time. And that makes stretches like some of these teams are on really, really difficult. You know, for this matchup, after, you know, Columbus Grove had won four straight and then Otterville has won the last two, there's a long history here, a big rivalry game as well. So this one's going to be a really good one. I'm really interested to see how this one plays out. Otterville off to a little bit of a rough start, right? I think, you know, some of the games early that were people like, ooh, is Otterville going to be down? Don't look quite as bad, right? They lost to Bath early in the season. You're like, oh, okay, well, maybe that loss isn't as eye-popping as we thought at the time. You know, I imagine that this Otterville team is going to win 18, 19, 20 games like they do every single year. Really good team. Columbus Grove, we already talked about. They're getting better at this point. This is a tough stretch for them as well. We'll find out a lot about this Columbus Grove team at the end of this game.
Danny, I think if this game is played between the three-point lines, beating Columbus Grove uses their quickness to make it a sloppy game in the middle of the floor, that's going to help them win. If Otterville can make it a half-court game, we all know that Columbus Grove's not really big. Otterville's got some pretty good size inside. That's how they win that basketball game. Post first guards.
There you go. Guys, game 9, what a matchup. I like to refer to this game as the Miss America runner-up because, and I'll tell you why. Now I'll tell you why. Because if either Patrick Kamler or Mark Shine can't fulfill their obligations, I hope they call Danny Holbrook. You guys ever get those games where your name's not on there? You're like, please call me.
There might have been some games where I've texted them, hey, just hey, if something happens and they can't make it, I am free that weekend. Absolutely.
I got nothing going on Saturday night. Guys, this is the game of the year.
You guys do it all wrong. You say, Mark Shine's going to have a flat tire.
I genuinely get excited about matchups like this. These are, and we're going to talk later on, these are two of my top three teams in my top three.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can disagree. Yeah.
Both are number one.
Yeah,
really?
I don't think we'll disagree with that. What a matchup. I'm not even going to call this one because I don't know who's going to win it. I really don't.
Oh boy,
it's a good thing Rushi's not playing, because you know which one he's playing.
I called that one.
It's going to be a sellout, and unfortunately, I have a game that night, or else I'd figure out a way to sneak in, right? Because this is one of those games. That's
I don't have a game Saturday night.
All right, so we all know who the stars are, right? This is a 5-star matchup. You know the Sensabaughs are going to score. You know Carter Orr is going to score. You know Cam and Andrew Elwer are going to score. I found it absolutely hysterical last week when Cam Elwer had 19, and people were like, what was wrong?
Right? Mary Loke was really good defensively.
I was there. He only had 19, right? All right, so who's then going to be the star of the show, right? Both teams, Danny, you alluded to Jackson Weaker, who stepped forward, right? Who's going to be the next guy that steps forward? It's going to be the unlikely name, because the stars are going to do what stars do, right? Is it going to be Jude Steeman? Is it going to be Grady Smith? Or maybe even a Trevor Whitney, who's a 6'4 post guy that comes off the bench for Carter Orr, for Spencerville?
Maddox Krager, maybe, for Jelvis St. John.
Right, yeah. Right. Is it going to be Swick or Boggs or Easton Elwer or Weaker? That's what's going to be fun about this. Those other guys that step forward that become a new superstar, a new legend to add to the fold.
Yeah, for me, it goes back to actually kind of what you had talked about earlier in the Spencerville game. Is I think that the key in this is going to be Carter Orr.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I mean, so much attention gets to the Sensabaugh brothers, which it should. Carter Orr does get a lot of attention, but probably not as much as he should because of how well the Sensabaughs play. I think when this is all said and done, how Carter Orr plays in the paint, getting the rebounds, challenging, as we know Cam Elwer's going to want to come down, he's going to play up.
Don't foul.
Does he stay out of foul trouble? Does he own that paint? If he has a great game, I think Spencerville comes away with this win.
Yeah, this one to me is
he's
just
giddy.
I know, I am. I get excited. I genuinely get excited. This one to me, you look at what Marion Local was able to do to Delphus St. John's, and they really got after him on the defensive end. I was really, really surprised how well they played. I shouldn't have been, because they're Marion Local, but they really did a lot of great things pressuring the ball, and they caused them a lot of problems. Now, what did St. John's do? They just knocked down shots. That's what they do best. I believe Spencerville has the guards that can get out, close out on these shooters.
Absolutely.
I believe Spencerville has the guards that can handle Delphus St. John's pressure. Now, the difference is I think Carter Orr, and I talked to Coach Sensabaugh last week on the radio, and he just raved about the play of Carter Orr. He's a 3-year starter. He doesn't make mistakes. He catches everything in the post, and I talk to you guys about that all the time. If you can catch the ball in the post, you're halfway there.
Yeah.
And he is really good offensively. He helps them out defensively. This, to me, is a 61-60 game. And I don't know who's going to win.
Oh, I was just going to ask you. You got to pick it, Danny. Who's winning this one? Now, remember, it's at Delphus St. John's.
Yeah. I'm going to say, because it's at Delphus St. John's, Spencerville gets the win. Because they go in. Look, it's enemy territory.
Wow.
They go in. I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. Those Sensabaugh boys play with a chip on their shoulder. When the chips are down, you saw them. You guys saw them last year against OG at Lima Senior in the district finals.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Yep.
They were grown men.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because I'm pounding. I'm spitting. My arms are flailing. I don't know what to do. Do you guys ever question my loyalty to WSN in basketball and football?
I think the difference for me with this Delphus St. John's team compared to the one that we saw last year is that ability that you guys have been talking about, and that we saw in the Marion Local game, other players being able to step up.
Yeah.
Not just needing Cam to do everything. He still does, but he has the help. And if he has an off night, and only has 19 points or whatever, there's other guys that can step up. They're not afraid to shoot. They have other guys who don't shy away from having the ball in their hands. That's, I think, what makes them so dangerous. They have this superstar player, but then they have other guys that are just as confident, and they feel just as confident about having the ball if they need them to. So I think that's what separates them. You know, this is going to be another one where, I mean, we talked about it last week, but if you're St. John's, hats off to your scheduling, where you
fantastic.
Got all of these games at home.
There's no reason to have buses.
They don't ever travel.
I mean,
you get all of these games, these big games at home. Playing at Delphus St. John's is different.
It's huge.
If you took this game and you put it in Spencerville, I would give Spencerville the edge. It's a bigger floor. It's a bigger space.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more open.
Call it.
I think Delphus St. John's – I do think Delphus St. John's wins
good.
This game because it's at home, and that's the only reason. It's a little
bit
smaller floor. I like the shooting.
The road.
Yeah.
Well, I just said because of the chip on the shoulder of the player, but I completely agree.
That's the only thing that I think separates them right now is home court. If you put this game in a neutral site, I don't know. But we don't talk about that. So, St. John's, I'm giving St. John's the nod only because they're at Delphi St. John's. That's the only reason.
Tiebreaker Miles.
All right, a tiebreaker Miles. That's my new nickname. Nate, does Shawnee beat Spencerville if they played?
Does Shawnee beat Spencerville?
Yeah, if they played.
Oh, if they played.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give them the edge. Yes.
Okay, I tend to agree with you, right? Because I love the Berkeys. I love the length of Hutchins. I think they're a fantastic team. Well, DSJ beat Shawnee, right?
Correct.
So that right there, I thought that was an unbelievable win. I don't know if Spencerville has played anyone Shawnee's type of caliber, right? Sure. I just think DSJ is just so battle-tested. And Cam Elwer, is there a guy that has more determination than him? No. There's not, right?
Well, and the one thing that Delphi St. John has shown this year that I haven't seen out of any other team is to consistently close out tough games.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right? That's how they got that Shawnee victory. We saw what they did to LCC. You saw what they did to Marion Local. They have played tough games that have been a big game atmosphere, packed gyms that have been close. They have shown that they can close those games out. That gives them the edge.
I've seen them three times, two in person. Danny, you've seen them how many times, DSJ?
Three times,
okay. They never get tired, do they?
No.
They don't. No. And that is a huge advantage.
Look, guys, I picked Spencerville, but if Delphi St. John's wins this game, I'm not going to be like, oh, I messed that up. No.
Well, I mean, you picked Rushi, so, I mean, why would you pick DSJ?
And they haven't lost yet. All right, guys, those are great. That's a great segment. Gentlemen, today is Martin Luther King Day. It is a day to reflect on the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. We see a lot of schools now having basketball tournaments over the Martin Luther King Day holiday. Your thoughts on the holiday and that associated with it?
Honestly, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm really not. Actually, just since we've been doing this show, I got a text message. My son's middle school game got canceled. That was scheduled for today. I was happy to see that. Look, I don't know that, you know, just because we have a day off during the week that all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's another opportunity to pile in games, commercialize, make money off of. That's not what the whole purpose of this day is. I'm just not a big fan of it. And the more that you see pro and college do it, then that allows high school and middle school to also think that it's okay to do. I think that when you get these days, they're there for a reason. You know, you're not surrounding the day. You know, these games aren't being brought to you and surrounding it with, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. Rhetoric and things. It's just, oh, we're going to play a game and we're just treating today like any other day.
Yeah.
And we do that with a lot of holidays and a lot of other things. And I'm just not a big fan of it. These holidays exist for a reason. I don't think that reason is so we can pile tournaments and games and, you know, exposure onto it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. With one caveat, right? Make sure it is about Martin Luther King. I've been to Martin Luther King classics where they don't even mention Martin Luther King's name, right?
Right.
If it is about the guy and you're going to celebrate what he did, which was absolutely amazing, the guy should be celebrated. Do something between games that, hey, guys, Dr. King did this. Have a little something. Don't just put on a T-shirt and say we're going to play basketball in memory of Dr. King and then never talk about Dr. King at all. Make sure it is an event that we're going to push that agenda, which is a tremendous thing, push that forward so then we really remember what this day is for, not just that we have a day off, let's go play basketball.
Right. Well, and I think that's a much better way of putting what I was saying is because
– Thank you.
If you're going to do it and you're going to use your platform to bring eyes to something, that's great. Bring attention to what Dr. King did. Absolutely. Yes. That's the whole purpose. But if you're not, or if you're just going to use it as an excuse to try to commercialize and make money and put a game on a day, you're completely nullifying the day. And that just doesn't sit right with me.
I think some schools do it because they know that everybody's off that day. The gyms may come full, you know.
Yeah,
It
doesn't sit right.
All right, guys, it's time to name our top three teams in Limaland and who our Stolly Superstar of the Week is. Let's start with you, Miles.
All right. Well, I'm going to steal a couple of Danny's here. Although, you know, he's a big fan of Rushi, I'm going to still go with DSJ. And I'm going to go with Spencerville, who Danny picked to beat DSJ, right? Those are easy ones, right? Mm-hmm. And then, fellas, I just wish we could get Senior and DSJ and Spencerville to all play, wouldn't it? the athleticism and the guard play that you see out of those three teams, it's just absolutely crazy. I've seen senior play three times now, and the amount of talent that Quincy Simpson has there, 1 through 12, is just absolutely ridiculous.
How about this, Miles? Forget about a regular season game. I just want to go in Lima Senior's gym in about mid-July when it's 97 and have those three teams come in there and just run full court. With the guards out there on those three teams, forget about it.
I don't want to be in there when it's 97 and you're wearing a tank top, though.
I may just take it off, tank top, yeah.
So same top two for me, Delphi St. John's and Spencerville. Those are the easy choices right now. For me, though, my third team is actually that Ottawa Glandorf girls team.
Nice.
That team is phenomenal.
It'd be a lot of the guys around here.
Yes. Yeah. I love that team. I love what they're doing. I can't say enough about how big of an impact that win against Fort Loramie had on me and how I view this team. And I think a lot of other people feel the same way. This Ottawa Glandorf girls team, once again, having an incredible year. And, you know, I don't see it ending anytime soon.
Guys, for me, stealing from Miles here. I'm going Delphi St. John's, Spencerville, and Lima Senior. I look at those three teams, and I look at the guard play, and it's as good as I've ever seen in Northwest Ohio. I kid you not. I've been watching basketball my whole life. I've played basketball. I've coached basketball. I've called basketball. These guards are as good as I've ever seen. And when I say that, I don't say that lightly. Cam Elwer is a Division I prospect. I don't know what the Sensabaugh boys are going to do, but they just keep setting records. Yep. And I know what the kids at Lima Senior are doing because they're going D1 every year. It's embarrassing how good these three teams are.
Ja'Kel Cotton, who's going to play at UD, you almost forget to mention him. That's how good senior is, right? That's what's absolutely insane about it.
And I'm gonna jump ahead here. My Stolle Superstar of the Week, and I talked about him before, I'm giving it to Jackson Weaker. Man, the kid was amazing. Yeah. He was he had that moment that he may never have again, but he had it on a special night in the biggest stage of his sophomore year, and he was sensational. I'm really proud of that kid.
Yeah. He was a fantastic shooter last week for sure, and he might be the key this week against Spencerville, right?
Oh, yeah.
Willie Foster, for me, I went off on how great he was to watch the other night earlier in the show. He's got the sweet hair. He's got the great shoes. He's got the game to match. He's got handles. Steps out and just calmly buries a three. Plus, he's just like even keel. I mean, you just look at him. He's like the Terminator out there. Just is so even keeled. Absolutely jumps out of the gym. They tried to run a backdoor alley-oop against OG's 2-3 zone, and it was a bad pass, and he still almost – you can see him. He wanted to grab the rim and grab it and just dunk it. His hops are crazy.
There can be no gravity in Lima Senior's gym because those guys just rise and rise and
listen,
rise.
It's not just that gym. Every gym they step in, it's just
different. It's a trampoline park.
I'm telling you.
For me, it's Jordan Pretty. The weekend really that LCC had, that was a big weekend for them and for kind of trying to right the ship. They'd been on a little bit of a downturn, really struggling, losing games that they probably shouldn't have been losing. Jordan Pretty took over this weekend. He had 24 points against Bluffton, came back the next night, 26 points against Elida.
Yeah.
That was a big weekend for LCC. I think a lot of people thought that they were potentially going to be 0-2 and, you know, not really sure where the status of the program would be after that. And Jordan Pretty changed all the talk around LCC right now.
Yeah, you look at that program, guys, and they were reeling before last weekend.
They sure
were. They had lost several games in a row. We had talked about them on the show the week before. You want to talk about leadership? Jordan Pretty just goes about his business. Yep. I really like that kid. Yep. He's one of my top four or five guards around here.
And the knowledge, too, that he's got to go in every single game and get him 20 points. That's got to be tough mentally, right? It's got to wear on you after a while, right? And he still does it.
Yeah. Guys, it's the national championship game, Ohio State versus Notre Dame. And do you know what I'm going to do, Mr. Will? I'm sorry, Will. I started to call you Will Howard. I'm sorry, Nate. I'm going to turn this segment.
Good joke.
I'm going to turn this segment over to Miles Holliday.
Guys, I went to a card show. Jumbo's had a card show here in Lima this past weekend. And I was walking around a card show, and I found some Ohio State cards. And I thought it would be fun that I'm going to give you guys a Buckeye card, and then you're going to tell me in your mind how important this guy has been for the Buckeyes' run through the season and hopefully to win a national title.
And we haven't – we didn't prep any of this.
No. So, Danny, I will start with you. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you Caleb Downs. Caleb Downs card, and that's yours to keep. I spent huge money on this cardboard.
Let's see. He's the best defensive player in America. He is a first round pick after next year. When I say first round, he is a top five pick. He is probably going to go down as probably the best safety Ohio State's ever had. I mean, there's a lot of them, but his athleticism is off the charts. If we win the national title tonight, he will play a major role. Either an interception, 7-8 tackles, his leadership. Yeah. He's invaluable. I'm glad I got this guy. Yeah. This was an easy one, Miles.
His ability to stop the run and affect the run game from that safety position is just unmatched.
Well, he's basically a middle linebacker, isn't he?
Yeah.
They'll roll him up to play that third linebacker spot. They'll put him in the secondary. He is one of those guys when, you know, they had that jack position that Jim Knowles wanted to have, that rover guy when he first came to Ohio State. Well, there he is. He does absolutely everything.
He is as responsible as anybody for the growth of Sonny Styles, because if he hasn't come to Ohio State, Sonny Styles is playing back there. We don't know how good he was going to be. Now, he's a five-star, don't get me wrong, but you want to talk about a guy that's blossomed into the linebacker? Yeah. He's going to play in the NFL as a linebacker because Caleb Downs came to Ohio State.
That's a great point. And of course, Danny, I'll let you take a little bit of a look here. Which one do you think I should go with? Let's go with this one. Nate, we even put a green star on it right there. There it is. Will Howard.
And remember, we're on TV, so everybody's watching. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
And again, that's your card to keep.
Oh, that's so good.
Put that in your car.
Yeah, it'll hang from the rearview mirror. Yeah. I mean, look. All right.
We'll trade cards.
Well, all right. How important is he? He probably is the most important player on the field. Whoa. Let's just be honest about it. Ooh. He can't have a bad game and we win the national championship tonight. It's just not going to happen. If he plays bad, we're not national champions. The offense is predicated on him being able to have a serviceable game, okay? It is because that's the reality. But you have to look at it like whatever.
This is so frustrating.
So Nate, so frustrating. Let's put it on camera right now. When the Buckeyes win the national title,
okay,
and we have another show next week.
Yes,
you are in possession of I Love Will Howard T-shirt.
Correct.
You, true or false, you will be wearing that on the show next week.
If he is the offensive MVP of the game, I will wear my I Love Will Howard T-shirt. Begrudgingly, but I will wear it.
Are we deciding who the offensive MVP is?
Yes, we are. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
We're not letting ESPN ABC do that. No, because they're not going to do that because they think like you. Yeah. We'll decide who the offensive player is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You mean you think right? Yeah,
I think if he goes 12 for 30 with a pick and a touchdown, I'm in.
They win by one. He throws three pick sixes. So
they lose tonight, and you guys are like, oh, he was the best player on the field.
He gets hurt and only plays a quarter and a half. He really was well in that quarter and a half. Do I get to pick your card?
Oh, sure, sure. Go ahead.
Let's decide which one we want here. This isn't easy. Let's go with that one.
All right.
There's a lot to be.
Are you trying to hide it from him? Like, you're like showing him as you show me. Let's go. Oh, what about this one? What about this one?
We're not playing Uno.
All four.
So Donovan Jackson, and I'm glad you picked this one, Danny, because I have so much respect for Donovan Jackson. There was a lot of talk when they were shuffling the offensive line around earlier in the year that, Donnie doesn't want to move out to tackle. He wants to stay at guard because he's going to be an NFL guard. And then he did what's best for the team. He moved out to left tackle and not only just played okay, he was outstanding. And how about this? He goes his first game at left tackle, goes against a future top five pick for Penn State that's an unbelievable pass rusher, and your first start, and does a really good job. Yeah. Donovan Jackson is what is embodied this Ohio State football team on how if you're going to win championships and you're going to win, you have to do it by sacrificing things for the better of the football team. That's what Donovan Jackson did, right? Yep. I'm not convinced now that he can play in the NFL at left tackle because he's been absolutely fantastic. He is as athletic and unselfish as a player that you'll find on that offensive line.
Well, he's significantly more valuable to NFL teams with them knowing that if they need him to play tackle, that he can.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made money with his decision.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. All right, guys, by the time people watch this, the national title will already be decided, right? So I thought it'd be fun that we go ahead and give some guarantees for this game and see when people watch it if we actually hit on the guarantees.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I have about three or four. If you have more than one, that's great also. Nate, why don't you go first?
My first guarantee, Will Howard will throw an interception in the first half.
Okay, that's, okay. That's a good one.
In the first half,
in the first half.
Okay. That's usually when he gets it out of his system.
Correct.
Yeah, right?
You know, and that luckily that has been we've been able to overcome those. It's, you know, he did it against Penn State. He's done a couple other times. So I – you know, what I worry about Will Howard, and I talked about this last week, is I don't need Will Howard to be perfect. I don't need him to be an elite quarterback, right? I need him to manage the game, not make mistakes, not force throws.
Right.
There are times, especially when he starts to feel pressure, we start seeing some mistakes come out of the way. He makes some bad judgment calls. He throws off a little bit when he maybe shouldn't. His accuracy starts to slide. So I think we will see that early. We'll have some of those big game jitters. I think we see an early interception out of Will Howard tonight.
Yeah, he really forced that ball to Jeremiah Smith last week against Texas on that interception. Great point. He does sometimes try to put a ball where it should.
Because he's not.
You also do love that about him because throw he made in the Rose Bowl to Emeka was probably a throw he shouldn't have made, but you know he's got the mindset to do it.
Want me to give a
guarantee?
I'm going to give a guarantee. Bank it. The Buckeye defense will have three turnovers tonight. Look, when I was a kid, my beloved Cleveland Browns, they would lose to the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship
game. Oh, I remember those days.
And the Denver Broncos would go to the Super Bowl, and they would lose the Super Bowl like 57-3 or whatever. They would just get destroyed. It's happening tonight. You're going to see the athleticism of the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight. It is going to be a 51-10, a 45-14. It is going to be an absolute, we have better athletes, we have better players. You guys are going to try to play man-to-man against us. It's not going to happen. They're going to be in flux. They're not going to understand what's happening to them. They're going to turn the ball over. There's going to be infighting. You're going to see Marcus Freeman's inexperience.
Wow.
Buckeyes are going to roll on this one. I know I sound like an arrogant fan, but I have watched
Yeah, you do. 100%. Absolutely.
I have watched a ton of Notre Dame Ohio State stuff this week. I can't see us losing this game. I hope I'm right. If I'm wrong, we can edit all this.
Jerry Faust is not on that Notre Dame sideline. All right. Nate, do you have more? Because
I do.
Okay, cool. All right. I have one right here. Jeremiah Smith will score a TD.
Whoa!
I know. Wow. I know.
Way to go,
Nostradamus. I know.
Karnak.
He'll have more than one catch than he had last week.
All right.
I'll give you a couple other ones here, then I'll let Nate. Ryan Day will find Lou Holtz after the game.
No, no. I'm sorry.
I'll give you another one. All right. Chris Fowler will not say a crimson wave.
No.
How about that at the Rose Bowl? No, how about that? A crimson wave. All right, Nate, go ahead.
My second guarantee is I think that Emeka Ogbuka has more receiving yards than Jeremiah Smith when this one's over.
Needs three catches and 95 yards to be the all-time leading receiver in both categories for Buckeyes.
I think game 7 next year, you guys are going to sit back and realize how good Emeka Ogbuka
was. Oh, he
was
outstanding.
Because he was a four-year player that was just outstanding.
What are you talking about? We know how good he is. No one's here saying he's back. I just said he's going to have more.
He's talking to the audience.
Oh, he's talking to the masses? Okay, because we agree. Because what I think is going to happen is I do think there's been all this talk about Notre Dame playing man-to-man, going to play man-to-man. We're going to play man-to-man. We're not going to change what we're doing. If that is true, Marcus Freeman's not this coaching savant that we think
bizarre,
he is.
It's bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre.
Right? Like so I don't think that – they may show it early, maybe, just to see. But then when it doesn't work, I think they're gonna have a backup plan. Well, I don't disagree with you, but I think at that point, though, they're going to start trying to bracket Jeremiah. They're going to take a page out of what they saw worked last time in last game, and I think that's going to open up a lot of things for Ogbuka. I think he's going to ultimately, when it's all said and done, I think he's going to have a nice final game to his Ohio State career. I think he sets the records that he needs to set, and I think he ultimately will end up having more receiving yards than Jeremiah Smith. Not because Jeremiah Smith did anything wrong, not because I think he's going to have a bad game. I just think that the way that Notre Dame is going to play them is going to allow for a lot more open looks to Ogbuka than to Smith.
I hope so. Do you have another guarantee?
I do not. Those are my two guarantees.
Okay.
I have
all right.
Three turnovers in the room.
I have two more. Do you have any?
No.
Okay. The last two, all right? I'll save the best for last. At some point in time when Ohio State is celebrating on the field, a reporter's going to say, how does this feel? How does this taste to win the national title?
It'd probably Spencer.
And one Buckeye will say, it's magically delicious.
Because of the
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms. Yes. Top of the morning to you, Nate.
The last one, though. And
I quit. I'm off this show.
I really guarantee this. This used to be something in commonplace. You win the Super Bowl. You win a national title. Players carried the coach off the field. Remember that?
Yeah.
Kind of disappeared, right? Yeah. It returns tonight. These Buckeyes, these senior class especially, love Ryan Day. You'll see JT and you'll see Jack Sawyer carry Ryan Day off the field tonight when the Buckeyes win it.
It'll be a good day.
It'll be a great day. Yeah.
You know what, though? That will be a sight that would resonate with Ohio State fans everywhere, with the last couple of years, all the stuff with Michigan, all the things that the program has gone through and the ups and downs and losing games that count and all the heat on Day. And, you know, a month ago we're like, he's going to get fired because he's going to lose to Tennessee. Yep. And then if he finishes it with a national championship, which was what we were promised almost a year ago. That's a good way to end it.
I agree with you. One more guarantee.
Oh, I just thought of it.
That our good buddy Desmond Howard will continue to beat the drum of the Buckeyes bought this title. I promise you that. He will sneak that in there a few times.
Which is, I do like the rhetoric that at least we've been starting to see, right? Kurt Herbstreit's starting to get a little bit more vocal with it. This team is filled with 3- and 4-year members. Yeah, there's some players that we've brought in, but everybody else has been here for 3 or 4 years. What are you talking about?
Next year, Desmond should use a red nose, right? Exactly. Because he's such a clown.
Thanks for joining us. You've been watching WSN's Three Wise Men. We'll be back next week.